So don't forget this twofold purpose of education. The obvious, which is to be able to live on earth comfortably. Yes, we need that too. But we should not forget the ultimate purpose of true education, that is to develop character for the life that is to come and be a blessing to others. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. And this is a beautiful passage, so wonderful thoughts as we think about what we need to celebrate. It says, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his what? In his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories glory in this, that he what? Understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. That's what we need to do. We go to school, get a diploma, and when the graduation time comes, we celebrate. Hey, it's done, it's over, no more term papers, no more books to read and make reports on. Hey, no more examinations. Yeah. Tom Brokaw, you saw what I wrote in the bulletin, said, your certificate is not a ticket to the good life. And he says, let me offer you an alternative, a good option. That is, that your certificate is your ticket to change the world. Look at it that way. You don't have that diploma so that you could get a job, so that you could bring in the money that will make you able to have what you want to have, material comforts of this life. But you have that diploma with you, and take it, because it entitles you to be a change agent for the world. Matthew 14, verses 14 to 16. We have an example from the Lord Jesus Christ of what I'm trying to share with you today. Matthew 14, verses 14 to 16. Here, Jesus Christ has this experience in starting with verse 14 to 16. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. And he was moved with what? With compassion for them and healed their sick. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. This is what I'd like us to learn from the wisdom of Jesus. He used his wisdom, his insight, to be able to know and understand what was going on around him. And he used that insight in order to allow that compassion to come out of him and make him do something to take care of the need that he saw. See, this is how Jesus Christ looked at things. Jesus Christ looked and he saw a great multitude of people. And he realized that this great multitude of people, they were hungry, they were sick. And then what came to him was, oh, I feel for them, I have compassion for them, I want to do something for them. And he looks at himself, He has the power to be able to heal them, those that were sick. And they were hungry, and he said, let me do something. Let them sit down and let us feed them. You know, that's how Jesus Christ used the wisdom that he had. He looked, he saw what was going on. He noticed they were in need of certain things. And he said, let me provide what they need. Let me bless them with what I have. Now it's a little different, so much different the way we look at things. When man looks at things, he sees things with a different mindset. He looks, and that's you and me a lot of the time. And then he sees something, and then he thinks, hey, how can I take advantage of this situation? How can I line my pocket with gold? And I don't know if I shared with you this experience before, but I think it's very appropriate with the way I'm trying to share a point today. You know, that celebrated court hearing of O.J. Simpson. One day I was at downtown Los Angeles. There was a court hearing that I was invited to because there was some Adventist member who wanted me to attend to give him support. So he said, I'll be there. I'll be there attending the hearing. And so I went and attended, but the hearing went so fast. And so when I left the courthouse, I noticed there were a lot of people that were milling around. They were gathering. So many people. I said, what's going on? And then as I began to ask around, I found out that this was going to be the day when there was going to be a hearing and that celebrated murder case of O.J. Simpson. I looked at my watch and I thought, since I left the courthouse early, I had plenty of time in my hands. So I said, why don't I stay around here for my education? I was looking around, I was standing on the street and watching people gathering together, waiting. We were waiting for, was it Johnny Cochran and his lawyers and everybody. And anyway, as I was standing there in the street looking at people, seeing what things were going to happen, I noticed this lady who was dressed in a formal evening gown, looking so pretty. And she had a boombox with her, and she was walking. And finally she found a space on the sidewalk and put down the boombox and turned it on. Then she started making those moves. And it became very interesting. And people began to gather. And I said, oh, what's happening? So I went and took a look. I went even closer. What's happening here? And she was like dancing and doing all those things. And people were happy. And they were delighted and they were enjoying it. But when the music stopped, you know, she went into a bag that she had. She took out some tapes. Oh, she was selling some tapes. So here was somebody who was looking and she saw people. And said, hey, this would be a good place. Can make some money from these people. So he started to do whatever she needed to do to bring in the money that she wanted. You know, that's how we are a lot of times. We look at a situation and we recognize that there are people who are in need of something and we go, well, I can do something. I could make myself rich. I could take advantage. But Jesus Christ was different. And this is the wisdom that he had, which I would like us to emulate. Because Jesus Christ, when he looked at situations, people, and things, he saw and recognized that there was a need. And right away, what he did was to take care of those needs. He saw people that were sick, and so he went around healing them of their sickness. He saw people that were hungry, and the disciples said, let's send them. We don't have any wands or rods or anything around here. No bakery where we could get some bread. And Jesus Christ said, no, don't send them. Let them sit down by groups, organize them, and we're going to feed them. That was Jesus Christ. He looked at people, he recognized their needs, and then he did something about them. When Jesus looked, he saw the sick and the hungry multitude. He had compassion on them. How can I help in their situation? And so he helped them. In a verse that we read earlier in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24, after God says, let not the mighty man glory in his might, but let him that glories glory in this, that he knows and understands me. Let not a wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not a mighty man glory in his might. Nor let a rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. So the most important thing in this life, dear graduates, class of 2009, and dear church family, and those of you who are visiting with us today, the most important use of wisdom is to get to know Jesus. To get to know Jesus. It's not knowing all the many things about life, about science and arts and all those things, although they are good and they are also important. But the most important thing to know is to get to know Jesus. I have a quote which I'd like to share with you. It's beautiful. And it starts with a question that says, would you really be wise? Would you really be wise? If you were the world's greatest geologist and knew every rock and yet knew not him who is the rock of ages, would you really be wise? If you were the most brilliant botanist and knew every flower in the vast field of botanical science, and yet knew not him who is the rose of Sharon, would you really be wise? If you were the most renowned astronomer and knew every star in the limitless reaches of space, and yet know not him who is the bright and morning star, would you really be wise? If you were the best informed scientific wizard in this marvelous enlightened age and knew all the laws of electronics, nuclear fission, and the complicated mathematical calculations of rocketry and space explorations, and knew not him who is the light of the world, would you really be wise? If you were the most successful businessman and knew all the laws of world economics and the fine art of business administration, and yet knew not him who made and owns the world, would you really be wise? So dear graduates, class of 2009 and church family, would we really be wise? Maybe we receive our diploma, our certificate, and we have the honors. We have the high honors. We have the presidential award. Leadership and things like those, scholarship. You may have all of this. You may be a member of the National Honor Society consistently. But if you don't know Jesus, would you really be wise? Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10. And let's hear more words from the wise man, the preacher. It says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your mind. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in a grave where you are going. Now this verse we like to use every time we give a study on the state of the dead or the nature of men. We always use this verse to prove that the dead know not anything. The dead are in an unconscious state where they are dead. But there's something here that I'd like to share on this point. It says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your mind. And we say, well, yeah, because when you die, there's nothing more. You can't do anything when you're dead. You can work, you can study, you can play, whatever. And so what you can do now, what your hand finds to do now, do it with all your mind. But there's something here in this verse that I'd like to share with you. It's so appropriate in our study this morning. Because Bible scholars say that the most important work that we have here on this earth is to know God. You know that the most important thing for us to do, the most important work that we have here on this earth, is to know God. Not to finish school, or not to be able to earn a lot of money. The most important thing for us to do here on this earth is to know God. And so this work that we are bound to do, we must do it with all our might, with all our strength, with all our heart, with all our soul. And that's the reason why in Job chapter 22 verse 21 we are told, Job 22, 21, acquaint now yourself with God and be at peace. Job 22, 21, yes, now acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Why is this important? Why are we supposed to get acquainted with God? Why are we supposed to get to know God? Why is it that this is the most important work for us to do here on this earth, to get to know God? Because in his prayer in John chapter 17 verse 3, what does Jesus Christ say? John 17 verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ from thou. And that's the reason why, dear brothers, class of 2009, this is the reason why, dear church family, that this is the most important work for us to do here on this earth, to get to know God. Because to get to know God, or to know God, is to have what? To have eternal life. To have eternal life. I was reading one time about a certain man, a certain athlete. He was a champion wrestler of Europe. And he was getting all his titles, winning all his bouts in wrestling. And then he came into America. This was many, many years ago. He came to America for a world championship wrestling match. And according to the story, he won the match and earned a lot of money. So many, many thousands of dollars. But this man was so in love with money. And when he received his prize, he elected not to receive it in bills, but he wanted bars of gold, equivalent to his award, his prize. And so he had those bars of gold with him and went back to Europe. He took the boat crossing the Atlantic. And according to the story, while the boat was sailing across the Atlantic, there was a heavy storm, and the boat sank. And the boat was sinking. The story says that this man began to panic, and now what do I do with these bars of gold? Got them and wrapped them around his waist. Went to the side of the boat, outside waiting for the lifeboats. But as the boat sank, because he was so heavy with the gold bars wrapped around his waist, he sank so quickly into the bottom. And the the life guards or the people that came to rescue him never got to him. He perished. Because what? To him, the most important thing was the gold, money that he couldn't bring home. Verse that we read today, Mark chapter 8, verse 36, and I'm going to close with this as we go over this again. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So with this, I close this message. And he graduates in class of 2009. The Lord bless you as you move on. For those of you who have finished elementary and high school, like I said, hitch your wagon to the moon, because even when you miss it, at least you will fall among the stars. For those of you who have finished college and postgraduate courses, think about what you have received, the diploma, the certificate that you have, and a ticket to a more comfortable life, or a ticket to a life of luxury, or a ticket to change the world. Let's go and change the world, remembering that the most important thing that we can do with the wisdom that we gain is to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. And we shall be able to get to heaven and live with him forevermore.